Well, this morning, we're going to be finishing up our series titled, What We Still Value. Today is week six of this series that's been taking us through what is our six core values. And as I mentioned in previous weeks, when Stacy and I began this journey of realizing that we were going to be planting a church here in Dallas, we began to pray about our core values. What are the core values that God has for us? Who is it that He is calling us to be as a church? And after a lot of prayer and taking some, 20 to 25 values that we first started out as we start writing all these things on a list, after a lot of prayer, we whittled it down to six core values that we believe God had for us. And those six core values that we started with almost 6 years ago now are what we still value. It hasn't changed. They are our values. And it was a little over 2 years ago that I felt like God had impressed upon my heart that every couple years we would revisit these values. Because it's real easy for us to forget who we are, right? It's real easy for us to forget who it is that God has called us to be, which is why we're going through this series once again. If you aren't familiar with what our core values are, you can see them on the screen here this morning. So far, we've talked about the first five. The fact that we value God's word. We value worship. We value obedience. We value people. We value authenticity. And then this week, we're going to finish up with the fact that we value simplicity. Now, once again, if you've missed any of these messages, I would encourage you to go online and to listen to them, especially if you call Dallas Foursquare Church your home, because I really believe it's important that if this is where God's called us, that you know who we are and who God has called us to be. Now, the thing is, the sixth core value has probably been the most confusing value for people. When they look at the core values, they look at simplicity, and it seems to be the most confusing one. And I think it's because a lot of people don't really understand what simplicity means. What are we saying when we say simplicity? Because the other values, they make sense to people for the most part, right? I mean, we all get that God's word is important. Right? We would all agree. We all get that worship is important. And even though we may not like obedience, we all get that obedience is important. We all get that people, God loves people. People are important. And even though we may struggle with being authentic, we get that authenticity something we should value, that it's important. But I've had many people, especially when we first started the church, question the core value of simplicity. You know, what does that even mean? You know, that's the question. What does that even mean? What is simplicity? Which is why we're doing this series, so that we understand these values, that we understand why it is that we value them. And as we look at this value of simplicity and what it means, let me start by telling you what it is not, okay? Because a lot of people, when we first started this church and they heard simplicity, when they heard that word, they thought it was just an excuse to be lazy, to be a church that didn't do anything. But I can tell you that simplicity is far from laziness. Because the truth is, simplicity takes hard work and discipline. It's a difficult thing, especially in the world and in the time that we live today. You know, I wonder how many of us here would consider our lives to be overly busy. Maybe even a little out of control, right? I wonder how many of us are spending too much time, too much money, too much energy on some things and not enough on other things. I wonder how many of us feel like we spend our lives going from one important critical need to another important critical need, always reacting to what seems most urgent instead of sometimes what's most important. I wonder how many of us are struggling to manage our limited resources, right? Our resources of time, money, and energy in the midst of a seemingly endless list of demands, right? It seems like there are all sorts of demands in every which way, where we always feel exhausted and we still feel guilty that we aren't doing enough. Have I described any of us here this morning? Right? To be honest, I think I actually just described a good portion of people in America. Because honestly, it's hard to find people nowadays who feel like their life is under control. Especially when it comes to the whole spectrum, work, family, faith, and whatever else we try to squeeze in there in the midst of this life. We are a people, as a whole, that is pretty much out of control. And we don't seem to know what to do about it. How do we change it? It just keeps going and going and going. And I don't believe that that's really what most of us want. We're just caught in the loop that just keeps going. I'm guessing most people in this crazy system long for something different. They long for simplicity. They long for a life that doesn't have us constantly trying to cram one more activity or thing into an already overloaded schedule. A life that doesn't require us explaining to our kids why we can't play with them or why we can't make it to this or that. A life with time for family, friends, and of course, how about God? Right? But the sad thing is that for most people in today's society, this kind of life, this life that is under control, this life that is more simplified, seems like a pipe dream. Because the life we're familiar with is one that is always demanding more. More than most of us have to give. And this is why I believe that we need to be people who embrace this value of simplicity. This value of slowing down and really focusing on what's important. That's the key to simplicity. It's slowing down and focusing on what's important. The problem is many of us have bought into the lie that a life of simplicity isn't really possible in today's world. That if we slow down, if we simplify, we'll just get buried even deeper. How can we do this in this world and that just keeps going? We worry that this fast-paced world will leave us behind if we take time at all to stop and to breathe. But I'm here to tell you this morning that I'm learning that's a lie of the enemy. It's a lie of the enemy. I believe that the enemy knows that if he can keep us busy, if he can overwhelm us with the high demands of this world, it will keep us from spending time with the Lord. Think about it. How often does our time with God get pushed aside because of the busyness of our world? The problem is, this is completely opposite of how it should be. God always gets pushed to the side, but it's the opposite of how it should be. God shouldn't just be one of the many priorities on a list of priorities that we hope we can find time for. God should be the priority. God should be our number one priority. Matthew 6:33 tells us, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And if we do that, it says, and all things will be given to you as well. Seek first His kingdom and then all things will be given to you as well. This is simplicity at its finest. It's making God the priority and living the life that He's called us to live. Not the life that the world tells us we need to live. And not even the life that we sometimes think we need to live. But the life that God has called us to live. And this morning, to take a closer a look at what I'm talking about, you can open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. We're just going to read the first two verses of Hebrews chapter 12 this morning, but these two verses give us some perspective on living a life of simplicity. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. We're going to read Hebrews 12 verses 1 through 2. It's from the NIV. This is what it says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, in these two verses, Paul is sharing with us, or I say Paul, actually, people think Paul, people don't know, maybe Barnabas, I'm not sure who wrote Hebrews, but the author is sharing with us some wisdom on how to live our lives as followers of Jesus. And he does this by using this analogy of running a race. Now, this February, the 2018 Winter Olympics will be taking place in Korea. Okay? Anybody here fans of the Olympics? All right? I'm a big fan of the Olympics. Our family loves the Olympics. We love both the Winter Olympics, the Summer Olympics. It doesn't matter. We just love the Olympics. It's fun. And here's the thing. Believe it or not, the Olympics were already a huge event back when Paul wrote these scriptures. Now, not the Winter Olympics, okay? They weren't doing skiing and ski jumping and all that kind of stuff back then. But many of the events that we see in the Summer Olympics today, many of the running and track events type events they were doing, they had these Olympics back in this time. And so Paul was using an analogy that everyone in this time would be able to relate to. And as I read these scriptures, there were a couple things that stood out to me in regard to this value of simplicity that we're talking about today. You see, he starts off by saying, let us throw off everything that hinders. Now, to fully understand this statement and what they were relating to, we need to understand what the athletes used to wear when they competed in the Olympics back in this time. Because the truth is, they actually wore nothing, okay? All right? And everybody flushes. It's a little embarrassing. What? They competed in the buff? I can't imagine, and I really don't want to imagine, okay, what that must have been like. But the truth is, this was true of most of the ancient day Olympics. They competed without their clothes. You see, we have to remember they didn't have the streamlined, you know, Nike or Adidas or Reebok gear that we have today, right? That hugs your body, that is able to you to run, you know, run smoothly. They wore tunics, right? You know, you look back in this time, they wore tunics. They wore this baggy clothing that hung around their legs. And so I actually read, as I was looking back at the history of the Olympics, that they had actually tried to wear garments. Okay, they tried to wear garments to compete in the Olympics for a period of time. But they would trip. They'd be running and they'd trip on their garments and they'd fall to the ground. And so they just took them off. Just threw off their clothes. And they went back to running around with nothing. Now, please understand that the author here isn't telling the early Christians to run around with their clothes off. Okay, that's not the analogy that he's giving here. But he was using it as an analogy to encourage them to not get weighed down with things that are going to hinder their walk with the Lord. Because the reality is there are many things that weigh us down, many things that entangle us. We take on so many responsibilities. And we complicate our lives with so many things that we get bogged down, that we get overwhelmed. And then, as Christians, we use these scriptures like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or say things like, nothing is impossible with God. And that's true. Those scriptures are true. But the problem is, we're taking on things that God didn't give us. We're doing things that God isn't asking us to do. We're asking Him to help us with things that He's saying, just get rid of them. I haven't asked you to take all this burden on. Get rid of these things. Many of us have allowed ourselves to take on things that hinder us. And like the author in Hebrews says, we have to throw them off. We have to learn to simplify. But how do we really do that? I think Paul gives us some advice here at the end of verse 1 in how we can do that. He says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. How? And this is the next part. This is the key. By fixing our eyes on Jesus. Running the race that He has for us by fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. You see, the key of living a life of simplicity is making sure that our focus is on Jesus, not all the other craziness and things that the world tries to take our focus away with. We have to make sure that we're doing what God is telling us to do. In John 8:28, Jesus is talking to some Pharisees who have been grilling him with all sorts of questions, trying to find out why he's doing things the way he does, who he is, what all these questions. And Jesus makes this statement. He says, I do nothing on my own. And speak only what the Father tells me to say. Think about that for a moment. He does nothing on his own, only says what the Father tells him to say. What if that was true of our lives? What if we only did or said what Jesus told us to say? I imagine our lives would be a lot different. I imagine we wouldn't put our foot in our mouth a lot of times. And you know what? I imagine our life would be a lot simpler. You see, if we want to be people who value simplicity, then I believe we have to ask the Lord a few questions. We have to ask ourselves these questions. The first is this: what am I doing that I shouldn't be doing? In this busy, crazy world, all the things that demand our attention, we do this, we do that. We need to ask ourselves, we need to come before the Lord and say, what am I doing that I shouldn't be doing? And then the second question is flipped: what am I not doing that I should be doing? You know, the reality is there are a lot of good things out there in the world that we can do. There are a lot of ways we can help here. We can do this. We can serve this way. We can do all these things. And we see that in church. That's why one of our core values is simplicity. I know so many people who have served the church, gave so much to the church that they got burnt out and wanted nothing to do with the church. Were they bad things? No. There are a lot of good things out there that we can do, but are they what we should be doing? Are they what God has called us to do? If you have your Bibles, you can flip to Luke chapter 10. I want to read one more section of Scripture this morning to help us with this idea of simplicity. Many of you are probably familiar with this story in Luke 10. It's the story of Mary and Martha. Many of us know the story of Mary and Martha. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. We're going to read Luke 10. Just a few verses here, verses 38 through 42. It says this: as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." It's an interesting scripture. And the interesting thing in this scripture is that Jesus praises Mary and rebukes Martha. In our world, this would have been viewed backwards, right? I mean, after all, Martha is serving others. And what's Mary doing? She's just sitting at the feet of Jesus. Many would view Mary as maybe a little bit lazy here, right? Like, "Hey, sis, get off your butt and come help me," right? I mean, many of us, that's where we would go. Pardon my language, sorry. But Mary understood something in this moment that Martha didn't. That being with Jesus was more important than all the things that needed to get done. Martha was so busy doing all the stuff that she was missing out on what mattered most, which was spending time with Jesus. I share this section of Scripture with you this morning for two reasons. The first is this, is to show that oftentimes the things we think are absolutely essential really aren't. Martha thought the things that she was doing were important. She thought that those things were essential. It definitely seemed like it to her. She even thought it was what her sister should be doing. But we see here Martha had it upside down. She was focusing on the wrong things. And the question we have to ask ourselves is what are the things that we have been focusing on? Are they the right things? Or are they the wrong things? Are there things we're doing that we shouldn't be doing? Things that are taking priority in our life over our relationship with Jesus? And the second reason I share this scripture is to show that we miss out on what's important when we get caught up doing things that we really shouldn't be doing in the first place. Martha was so busy doing what she thought was important that she missed an opportunity to be in the presence of Jesus. How often do we miss opportunities with Jesus because we're too busy with the things of this world? What is it that we're missing out on? What are those things and those opportunities that we have that we're failing to see because we're so busy? What is it that we aren't doing that we should be doing? As Jesus walked this earth, I believe he lived a life of simplicity. Jesus knew when he needed to be out ministering to the masses. He also knew, though, when he needed to kind of back up and just have some one-on-one time with his disciples. He also knew when he needed to get away and just be by himself with the Father. Living a life of simplicity is living the life that God has called us to live. And here's the thing. Living a life of simplicity means we may have to set some boundaries. Many of us are not good at boundaries. It may mean that we need to say no to some things, that we may need to say no to some people. And let me tell you, it's not easy, and people aren't always going to like it. I speak from experience. Contrary to what some people may believe, pastors do work more than just a few hours on Sunday. Okay? Contrary to what some people may believe, the role of a pastor, it can be a challenging and difficult calling. A few years back, I came across some statistics on pastors. I've shared these with you before, but I thought it was important as it talks about boundaries. These statistics came out of the New York Times back in August of 2010. So this was 7 years ago. I imagine there may be even worse today. I don't know. But this is what the article said. It said, pastors now suffer from obesity, hypertension, and depression at rates higher than most Americans. In the last decade, their use of antidepressants has risen while their life expectancy has fallen. Many would change jobs if they could. And then it goes on to share some statistics. It says, 45% of pastors say that they've experienced depression or burnout to the extent that they needed to take a leave of absence from the ministry. And I personally know numerous pastors who this was them, that burn out and had to step away for several months out of the ministry. It says 52% of pastors say they and their spouses believe that being in pastoral ministry is hazardous to their family's well-being and health. 52%. 57% would leave the pastorate if they had somewhere else to go or some other vocation that they could do. 75% report severe stress causing anguish, worry, bewilderment, anger, depression, fear, and alienation. 80% of pastors say that they have insufficient time with their spouses. 80% believe that pastoral ministry affects their families negatively. And it finishes saying that 1,500 pastors a month leave their ministry due to burnout, conflict, or moral failure. 1,500 pastors a month step out of the ministry. These statistics, they're mind-boggling. Because you wonder, how can a job that should be, you know, one of the greatest callings in the world, how can it destroy so many lives? And I believe it really comes down to boundaries. It's the fear. Many pastors that have this fear of letting people down. And they're willing to sacrifice their health and their family for the calling. When God called me to be a pastor at this church, the thing is, I knew these statistics. Which is exactly when I knew that God had called me to do this. I wanted to walk in obedience, and I'm going to walk in obedience. But I told the Lord I didn't want to pastor this church at the expense of my family. And the Lord said, you won't if you listen and follow me. If you set up boundaries. And this is why I've created boundaries for me and my family. This is why you will very rarely get a hold of me on a Friday. Okay, Friday is my day off. I don't answer my phone. And I'll say this, if there is an emergency, I check my messages. I check those things just to make sure. If there's an emergency, I will drop everything right where I'm at. My family knows this. If there is an emergency, and when I say emergency, I'm talking like a life and death emergency, okay? Because one person's emergency may not necessarily be my emergency, okay? But if it's not an emergency, it gets put on my list, and I do my best to get to it as soon as possible. I have to have boundaries. And the truth is, it doesn't matter if you're a pastor or a teacher or a garbage man, a stay-at-home mom, a construction worker. It doesn't matter what you do. We all have to have boundaries. And we all have to know our limits. What are we capable of doing? What has God called us to do? Because the world is always going to demand more of us than we have to give. This is why it's important that we set boundaries so that we can learn to live a life of simplicity. And here's the thing. And this is the tough part. It can't just be our boundaries. It has to be the Lord's boundaries. We have to listen to the Lord. Lord, what are you giving me permission to do? What are you telling me I need to do? Because it's then, when we are doing what God has called us to do, that's when we can grab hold of that scripture. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because He's called me to this, and if He's called me to this, He'll give me what I need to do it. We have to be listening to Him, though. Are we seeking the Lord? Are we listening to His desire for our lives, to the things that He's called us to do? What are we doing that we shouldn't be doing? What are those things that the world has entrapped us with? And what aren't we doing that we should be doing? Because we're so busy over here, we're missing out on what God desires for us to do here. We need to be asking these questions on a regular basis. And we need to pray about it. We need to take it to the Lord. Because again, simplicity isn't an excuse for laziness. Don't be like, oh, pastor said simplicity, I'm just going to do nothing, right? It's not an excuse for laziness. It's about maximizing our effectiveness for the Lord. When we're doing what He's called us to do, that's when we're most effective. We want to maximize our effectiveness. It's knowing when to be up and serving. Because Martha wasn't all, I mean, we're called to serve, right? We look at Martha and go, oh, well, I guess I should never serve. No, it's knowing when to be up serving and caring for others and when to be sitting at the feet of Jesus. It's seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. And we have to understand it's going to look different for each of us. Just because God calls me to do this and to live simplicity this way doesn't mean that's how He's called you to live out simplicity. It's going to be different. We have to seek Him. It'll be different for each of us. We have to figure out these questions for ourselves. What are we doing that we shouldn't be doing? And what aren't we doing that we should? I want to close this morning with my own personal journey. When I started this church, again, I set what I thought were pretty good boundaries. Friday was my day off. I did a good job of not doing church work. I even had people early on, I can't get a hold of you on Fridays. What? I need to get a hold of you. That's my boundary. I thought I was doing a pretty good job. But a little over a year ago, the Lord started, I don't know why I'm getting emotional. The Lord started to take this life of simplicity to a whole new level for Stacy and I. He began to challenge us in the area of the Sabbath. If you aren't familiar with what the Sabbath is, it's actually part of the Ten Commandments. We're told to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And the day of Sabbath, if you're not familiar, again, it's supposed to be, it's a day of rest. We work 6 days and we rest on the seventh. It's something that God actually modeled for us in creation. When he created things in 6 days, and on the seventh day, what did he do? He rested, right? He modeled it for us. And for years, many Christians have recognized Sunday as the day of Sabbath. It's your day to go and to be with the Lord and to worship him and just to rest, to go home afterwards and enjoy, you know, lunch with your family and hang out and do nothing but rest in the Lord. It was actually a part of our culture just 30, 40 years ago when businesses were actually closed on Sundays. Gas stations were closed. Grocery stores were closed. It was a part of our culture. It was the one day that most people had off. It was the one day where people could rest. And we were supposed to rest like God had commanded us to. But unfortunately, this drive for money and success has taken that sacred day away. Well, hey, nobody else is open. If I open, my business will multiply on Sundays. Oh, well, they're open. Shoot, if I don't open, man, my business is going to close. I got to open. And this desire for money, this desire to grow in those ways has taken the Sabbath away from us. It's not that sacred day anymore, which means we now have to consciously choose to take a day of rest, to take time to rest. But the truth is, most people don't. And that's especially true for pastors. The one commandment that most pastors break and don't have a problem with is remembering the Sabbath and keeping it holy. Now, the reality is, Sunday is not really a Sabbath for me. It's not a day of rest as a pastor, because Sunday is a day of work for me. I'm here early in the morning and I'm getting ready, and it takes a lot out. People don't understand what it takes to get up here and to prepare and to preach and be ready. So Sunday is a work day for me. It's not a day off, which means I need to have another day that I rest. Which brings me back to where I began this journey with God a year and a half ago, as he said, you need to Sabbath. And my thought was, well, Friday is my Sabbath. It's my day off. I don't do church work. But as the Lord began to challenge me on this idea of Sabbath, he asked me, he said, okay, Friday's your day of Sabbath. Well, what do you do on Friday? And the reality is, even though I don't do church work, it's my day to get caught up on all the things at home, the things that I can't do because I'm so busy doing church work. Whether it's gardening, mowing the lawn, doing this, doing that. My days off are days off from church, but they're not a day of rest. And the Lord said to me, that's not a Sabbath. You may take your day off from church, but you're not resting the way I've commanded you to, especially not resting in me. And so this past year and a half, our family has been working on the Sabbath. What does it look like for a pastor's family to Sabbath? Because as the Lord began to challenge, I could easily just take all day Friday. But we wanted it to be a family thing, and my kids go to school. And they don't get out till 3:30, 4 o'clock. And so we began this struggle of what it looks like for a pastor's family to Sabbath. And so right now we're working. Our thing is from 4 p.m. on Friday till 4 p.m. on Saturday. We try to rest as a family, spending time together, seeking the Lord, enjoying devotional times, just resting in Him, allowing our bodies that we're not created for 24-7, okay? You know, we're real big on 24-7. That's not how we were created. We were created for 24-6. We were created to rest. And so we're doing our best to allow our bodies to rest. And is it hard? Yes. Are there things that don't get done on my to-do list? Yes. But I have to learn to be okay with that. Because I'm realizing my to-do list is way bigger than it ever should be. Because there's a lot of things on my to-do list that I shouldn't be doing in the first place. We're learning, and we're not there, but we're learning to be like Mary. And just to take some time to sit at the feet of Jesus instead of being like Martha and not having time for Him. Especially on a day that from the beginning was set aside for God. And now we forget about Him and we just keep going through with what we need to get done. Now, do we have it perfect? No. Man, what do I do when I have a wedding? What do I do when I have a funeral? What do I do when I have these things and trying to figure this out, trying to work out, switching my Sabbath sometimes from Thursday to Fridays, sometimes from Saturday, you know, figuring that out. It's hard. We don't have it down. But here's the thing I love about the Lord. He says to do this and we're working at doing it. And I want to be up here, but I'm here. And the great thing is God comes and meets me where I'm at. That as we begin to walk in obedience and do our best to do what God has called us to do, He meets us where we're at. And I'm realizing that learning the Sabbath is a huge part of learning simplicity. Of learning how to simplify our lives. I believe it's a part of the simplicity that God desires from each of us. I didn't realize when God gave us that core value that 4 years later, the Lord would really begin to challenge me on what simplicity meant. Because I thought I knew. Yeah, I'm good. I got my boundaries. But the Lord is challenging me. As we learn to rest in the Lord, it's something that I believe will help us simplify. Because God's been teaching Stacy and I that if we're too busy to Sabbath, we're too busy. If we're too busy to spend time with God, then we're too busy. And we need to start asking ourselves, what am I doing that I shouldn't be doing? What do I need to say no to? So that I can say yes to Jesus more. So that I can live the life that He desires me to live. Simplicity isn't laziness. It's probably one of the toughest things we'll do in today's world. But it opens the door for us to sit at the foot of Jesus. And to live the lives that He's called us to live. And that's why we value simplicity. You pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You how You reveal Your Word to us. And how at times it can be challenging, Lord. We want to be people who love You. We want to be people who serve You. And Lord, we love that You meet us where we're at. But You also at times will peel back a layer and say, okay, now it's time to take that step deeper in our relationship with You. And I feel that You've been doing that even with Stacy and I and this idea of Sabbath, Lord. And Lord, we want to be people who learn to live a life of simplicity where we're not overwhelmed with the things of this world, where we're not so caught up in trying to keep up with this world that we're not getting to spend time with You. That we're not able to live the lives that You've called us to live. And so, Lord, I know for me, and I pray this for everyone here and for our church, Lord, that we are people that begin to learn the importance of simplicity, the importance of slowing down and taking a breath. Your breath, Lord, that You give to us. that we would seek you in all that we do, seek you first, and that all other things would be added. Lord, there's so much pressure that's put on us by the people in the world around us. I know as parents sometimes, Stacy and I would struggle and feel like, man, everybody's looking at us and thinking, man, what kind of parents are they? They're not doing this. They're not doing that. They're not keeping up with the Joneses. But Lord, I don't want to satisfy the world. I want to satisfy you. I want to learn to live the life that you've called me to live. To not worry about what others say, but to worry about living for you and being okay. And so, Lord, I pray for each of us here this morning. As I said, Lord, it's different for all of us. We're on this journey of following you, and that looks different for each of us. And so, again, it comes down to us seeking you and asking you, Lord, what are those things we're doing that we need to stop doing? And what are the things we're missing out on because of those things that have taken its place? Begin to work in us. Challenge us, Lord. And Lord, this is something, this Sabbath, we've been struggling with for a year and a half, figuring it out. Lord, it's not something that changes overnight. But as we choose to say yes to you, as we choose to walk in obedience, begin to live the way that you've called us to live, you meet us where we're at and you help us on this journey, Lord. And I pray that for each of us here. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your hand. We thank you for what you're doing in and through our lives, Lord. We give this message to you. In Jesus' name, amen.